the assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, before we get started on the weekend of sports that we had, I did just drop a new lyric video for my single called Weak Bitch that you can check out on my YouTube. Just go to youtube.com/KatieTrop, or you could just go to my website, katietrop.net, and it's posted right up there if you want to check that shit out. But it was a interesting weekend with the draft. It was... you know, not a lot of big names, not a lot of quarterbacks, a lot of defense, a lot of wide receivers taken. I'm not going to really go. I already went read the first round picks, and I'm not going to do any more breakdowns of the draft. In my personal opinion, the draft is kind of overrated in a way. I understand why it's a big deal with the NFL, because everything with the NFL is a big deal, and that's how it's such a big moneymaker, is that they make everything a big deal. But You can't really get excited over your team's draft until you see what happens on the field, and we have months until we see what happens on the field. So, I'm not going to, like, do any gradings of teams or anything, because you just really have no idea what you got when you drafted. But I did find it very interesting that not one Texas Longhorn was drafted this weekend. That's very pathetic, if you ask me, but it's actually not really that surprising, just because... the Longhorns have, they've just been such an underachieving team over the, I want to say the last maybe 8-ish years. They just haven't been really relevant even in our own state. You know, it's really pathetic when, you know, we've got great players that come from our own state. And they end up going to, you know, like Johnny Manziel, he ends up going to A&M. And then you've got RG3, who ends up going to Baylor. And then you've got Patrick Mahomes, who goes to Texas Tech. And there's even other guys beyond them within the state of Texas who end up going somewhere else. And then they go play somewhere else. And I'm just like, how is it that the Longhorns continuously miss out on some of the best players within our own state? And it's just sad. Hopefully that turns around. I mean, we've got Sarkisian, so hopefully he brings a little bit of winning our way, and that should hopefully help bring in some recruits. But man, it's pretty pathetic when not one Longhorn was drafted this weekend. That really says a lot about our team. And then in other NFL news, Tyrann Mathieu, the biggest name free agent out on the market right now, he signed with the Saints. So that's a good pickup by the Saints, definitely. Defensively, I don't think the Saints are going to have problems. It's going to be on offense where we'll see what happens. But he signed. And then right before I went on air, it was announced that DeAndre Hopkins, the wide receiver for the Arizona Cardinals, is going to be suspended for the first six games of the season due to PEDs, and he's not appealing the suspension either. So he is for sure going to be missing the first six games of the year. And that's, you know, I've been kind of making fun of the Cardinals offseason so far, because, you know, it started with Kyler Murray wanting a new contract and that kind of drama. And now this drama just kind of makes it look like, wow, the Cardinals, their division's already one of the best in the league, and they're going to have a lot of competition, you know, going up against the defending Super Bowl champion Rams. And then you've also got the 49ers. They're not as strong as they were last year, but they're still a competitive team. So I'm looking at the Cardinals, and I'm like, they might end up having a pretty bad year. And because their offseason has been drama filled, and this continues to add to it. And also, DeAndre Hopkins is a huge part of this offense. So, that's a big deal. All right. And then there was actually a really big UFC fight this weekend. It wasn't a title fight, but man, the main event was a damn good fight. It is one of the best UFC fights I've seen in a long time. It's Marlon Chito Vera. He won a unanimous decision in 5 rounds against Rob Font. And the day before at the weigh-ins, Font actually ended up weighing 2 pounds more than he was. He didn't make weight. And so that was a big deal, but they still, you know, they still kept the fight going. It was just a great battle to watch. You know, I've seen Chito Vera. I've seen him a couple of his fights, and he's a very interesting fighter to me because, like, sometimes when I'm watching him, I'm like, is this dude gonna get his ass beat? Because it looks like at first he is getting his ass beat, and he's like taunting his opponent, and I'm like, dude, you should like focus more on your fighting than your opponent, than taunting your opponent. And but then all of a sudden, towards the end of the round, he just starts getting it going, and he will. I'm surprised Rob Font didn't get knocked out, because there were 2 times specifically. One, I think in the 3rd round and maybe in the 4th round. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was the 3rd and 4th round. There were 2 times where, Chito Vera just, one was a leg kick to the face, and then the other was a punch. And, you could just kind of see the Font had stars in his eyes. And I thought, you know, that if Chito just took one more shot, he was going to knock him out. But basically what Font did is he just kind of like either just laid down and kind of just stuck his feet out there and was able to, I don't know why Vera didn't go in after him a couple times, because I'm pretty sure he could have. But that's not really his style of fighting. And I just remember that from the last couple of fights I've seen of his, where I'm just like expecting him to get his ass kicked at first, because that is what happened with Font, man. At the beginning of, I want to say, the first 3 rounds for sure, it looked like Font was going to just kick his ass. But then all of a sudden, this Vera guy, he just starts knocking his ass out. And I mean, by the time this fight was over, Font's face was bloody, bruised, and battered. And I was really shocked that this guy ended up lasting all 5 rounds, because man, the shots that Vera got in, he slaughtered this dude, and you could just see the bruises and the blood just forming with each and every punch. And like I said, there were a couple times where I was shocked that Font didn't get completely knocked out and the fight was stopped, but the dude was able to hang on and go all 5 rounds. But Vera got the win, and that was it was a very, very fun and interesting fight. And like I said, it was, I think that Vera's got a really awkward style of fighting, because he tends to just start off slow, but then boom, he comes in hot towards the end. That was a great fight to watch. Then we also had the NBA playoffs. All the conference semifinals matchups are now set. And we actually had 2 of the game 1s kick off yesterday. Starting in the Eastern Conference with the Milwaukee Bucks versus the Boston Celtics. And man, I'm telling you, Giannis is in championship mode. He had a triple-double in a Milwaukee Bucks win, 101-89. Giannis' stat line was 24 points, 13 rebounds, and 12 assists. And not only he was on fire, but just the rest of the team stepped it up, especially in Middleton's absence. I kind of expected a lot more from Boston, but they didn't show up from the jump. It was pretty much Milwaukee the whole way. There were a couple spurts where it looked like Boston was gonna get it going and make it a decent game, but overall, the Bucks just really dominated from start to finish, and that was a huge game one win for Milwaukee to get the win in Boston. I took the Bucks in this one, because like I said, I see Giannis just in championship mode right now, and he's playing some pretty unstoppable basketball at this current point in time. Milwaukee got game one, and we'll see what happens in game two tomorrow. Then moving over to the Western Conference semifinals game that was played game one yesterday, the Golden State Warriors versus the Memphis Grizzlies. Now, this was a damn good game. It was back and forth the whole way through. Golden State ended up getting the win, 117-116 in Memphis. So big win by them. It was back and forth the whole way, and they were, but all of them were making clutch shots. Ja was making clutch shots. Steph was making clutch shots. Klay Thompson making the clutch shot. Poole was making clutch shots. There was Draymond Green ended up getting tossed out of the game due to this weak-ass flagrant foul. I don't think he should have got kicked out. He should have obviously got called for the flagrant because that's what the rule is. But him getting kicked out was weak. But then I also agree with him. I feel it was more reputational because he has a reputation of being a dirty guy. And hey, years ago against the Cleveland Cavaliers, he did punch. Was it LeBron who he punched in the nuts? He punched somebody in the nuts because that is kind of his MO. He punches dudes in the nuts all the time. And he got caught in the finals, and I feel like that was the reason why the Warriors ended up losing that series, because Draymond Green missed the game the following game. So I don't think he's going to get suspended any games. He shouldn't, but he was kicked out of this game. But it ended up not being a big deal. Golden State stepped it up in the for the rest of the way, and they just looked really good. And it was a fun game to watch. They were just going back and forth. And especially the last couple of minutes, it was just bucket after bucket after bucket. And Golden State ended up getting the win. And this series is the only series that I actually didn't get to make a prediction on Friday's show because hadn't been set yet. But I'm definitely taking Golden State in this series to win it in six. And the only reason why is just because they're clicking on all cylinders. And I really, comparing their first round to the Grizzlies' first round, I felt the Grizzlies were kind of disappointing, in my opinion. Even though they got the win over the Timberwolves, I still think they should have massacred the Timberwolves when the Timberwolves actually played them really well. And I think the reason why the Timberwolves played them really well is because the Grizzlies let them play well against them. And now with game one, Golden State got the win. The Grizzlies definitely have to get a win here game two. And obviously they can. I think this is going to be a battle between two great teams. But I just think Golden State's experience is definitely going to outweigh what the Grizzlies have going on. And, really, they know how to win. They're a championship. They know how to win a championship. They know what it takes to win a series, a tough series. And I definitely don't think the Grizzlies are going to roll over. But I think Golden State's actually going to get the win in this series, even though before the playoffs began, I had the Memphis Grizzlies moving on to the following round. I switched that up just because the way the Golden State Warriors are playing currently, they're playing too well to pick against at this current point in time. And then tonight's games, we have game one between the Philadelphia 76ers and the Miami Heat. And unfortunately, after Friday's show, it was also announced that Joel Embiid has an orbital bone fracture and a concussion. And so his availability for this entire series is up in the air. Now, he's definitely going to miss tonight's game. And that's a big deal, in my opinion, because Joel Embiid is the backbone of this team. And, originally I actually had the 76ers winning this series, but I switched that up to Miami now. I've got Miami winning this in six because I don't know with the uncertainty with Joel Embiid, I don't think anybody else is going to be able to step up. Miami is a deep team. They have really good players. And now that Oladipo has stepped it up in the last round, look out for another dude on offense to turn it on for the Heat, and as if they didn't need more offense, and now they're getting more offense at the perfect time in the season. And Jimmy Butler, he's playing out of his mind. And really, with the Heat, I felt like their biggest weakness was going to be who are they going to match up with against Joel Embiid. Because you honestly, I feel like the only team that has anybody to match up with Joel Embiid would be the Bucks. And possibly the Suns with Ayton, but even I don't think Ayton would be able to take on Embiid. I think Embiid would dominate him at every level. But with his uncertainty, I've got the Heat winning this round, and I got them winning tonight because no Embiid for sure tonight. They're saying it's possible he could come around for Game 3, and it is possible. But how effective is he going to be? He already has the thumb injury. Now he's going to have to wear one of those clear masks that Rip Hamilton used to have to wear all the time because definitely with the fracture, you don't want him to take another elbow to the face. It's already going to be uncomfortable as it is. So yeah, I actually switched up that that pick there only due to that injury, because it's too risky. And then the other game we have tonight, game one, is Dallas Mavericks versus the Phoenix Suns. And yeah, I already picked Phoenix in this series. I like what Dallas is doing, but I think Phoenix is playing championship level basketball right now, and they're too hot to stop right now. So I definitely got them winning tonight, and I got them taking the series as well. All right, and let's move on to my top 10 MLB power rankings. And we had a lot of shakeups this week, a lot of movement in my top 10. And we're starting off with number one, the New York Yankees. They are the hottest team in baseball right now. They are 16-6, 9-1 in their last 10 games. They're currently on a 9-game winning streak. They kicked the crap out of the Kansas City Royals and the Baltimore Orioles this week. Aaron Judge has been on fire. He had 2 home runs in 1 game yesterday, and he has he's second in the league in home runs with 8 home runs, behind the league leader Anthony Rizzo with 9 home runs, who's also been on fire. Then Giancarlo Stanton, also on fire, and DJ LeMahieu, also on fire. And then the pitching. Cole, he had 1 bad game, but his last 2 games has been really solid. He's been typical Cole. But then the rest of the pitching has really stepped it up. Not just the starting pitching, but the bullpen is really holding it down. So the Yankees looking solid right now, and they are number 1 on my top 10 MLB power rankings. Then at number 2 are the Los Angeles Angels. They're 15-8 overall, 7-3 in their last 10 games. They beat the Cleveland Guardians this week and the Chicago White Sox. And Mike Trout, he ain't slowing down at all. This dude, he's leading the league in pretty much every category hitting right now. He's hitting well above 300 with his batting average at this current point in time. I think he's got like 6 or 7 home runs as well. So he is on fire. Shohei Ohtani did get injured yesterday, and he's out of the lineup for tonight's game or today's game. It doesn't seem to be a serious injury, so that's always good. But then they have a couple of these other guys stepping it up in the offense, and their starting pitching is really holding it down. So the Angels playing some great baseball right now. Then at number 3 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the Minnesota Twins. Also, they're the second hottest team in baseball right now. They're 13-9 overall, 9-1 in their last 10 games. They're on a 2-game winning streak. This week they beat the Detroit Tigers and the Tampa Bay Rays. And Byron Buxton, man, this guy is on fire. He started off kind of cold like the first couple of games, but man, he has just turned it on. He's got 7 home runs so far. And their starting pitching is something else right now. They are getting... I told you before the season, the Twins were one of my picks, and they're looking real solid right now. So I got them at number 3. Then at number 4 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the Toronto Blue Jays. Overall, they're 15-8, 7-3 in their last 10 games on a 2-game winning streak. They actually beat some really solid teams this week as well. They beat the Boston Red Sox and the Houston Astros. And their main bright spot right now is Kevin Gausman. I'm actually really upset that the Giants did not re-sign him after last year, because he had a great season last year for the Giants. And they did not re-sign him, and he ended up going to Toronto. And his first 5 starts, he hasn't had a walk or a home run hit off of him. And that's a big deal, especially for a starting pitcher. He's just pitching lights out right now. And then you also have George Springer, who signed with the Blue Jays a couple seasons ago, but really has had a lot of injuries hamper him. But now, man, this season he is just on fire. As a matter of fact, their entire batting order is on fire. I mean, Vlad Guerrero Jr., he's playing great right now. You got Springer playing great right now. You got Bo Bichette playing great right now. So yeah, the Blue Jays are on fire at this current point in time. Then at number 5 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the Milwaukee Brewers. Overall record 15-8, 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they went up against the Chicago Cubs and the Pittsburgh Pirates. And man, their starting pitching is also lights out. Corbin Burnes, he's had 3 straight games with 10 strikeouts. And that's a big deal. He's also, I think his ERA is, it's something crazy, crazy low. I can't remember. It's in the ones at this current point in time. But then you also have Lauer as well. He threw 11 strikeouts in a game the other day, and he leads the league right now with the lowest ERA. I think he's got like a 0.38 ERA or something like that. So, yeah, their pitching is solid right now. But also at the same time, their offense is catching fire. And even Christian Yelich, who had a down season last year, he's getting back in MVP form. And you don't want that dude getting hot because he plays great baseball. But then at the same time, their defense is also on fire. So you really got to watch out for the Brewers. They've been a good team the last couple of years. And this could be the year where they're actually like a legitimate contender for the World Series. So, I mean, it's early in the season, obviously, but the Brewers are playing great baseball. Then at number 6 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the New York Mets. They just fell a little bit, not really for any particular reason. I mean, overall, their record is 16-7, so that's still, I think, second in the league behind the Yankees. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. And they did have some tough opponents this week. They went up against the St. Louis Cardinals and the Philadelphia Phillies. But, I mean, overall, they had a solid week. Max Scherzer, he's pitching out of his mind still. And, you know, Starling Marte had another great week. Alonso, another great week. And Lindor's just still playing great baseball. So the Mets still playing really great right now. Then at number 7 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I've got the San Diego Padres. Overall, they're 15-8, 7-3 in their last 10 games. This week, they played against the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Cincinnati Reds. So two barn burner, bottom of level teams at this current point in time, especially the Reds. And I'll get to them in a minute, actually. You know, Manny Machado. There's this guy, I think a lot of the league has forgot about him when he got traded over to the Padres. Because, you know, he did have a couple of seasons where he was injured for like half the season and came back. But, man, he's batting like a .338 right now. and he's just really leading the charge with this offense. As well as Jake Cronenworth. He's also having a great season so far. And then Musgrove had a great, great outing. I believe it was yesterday or the day before. He just pitched a solid, solid game. Then at number 8 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the Miami Marlins. Overall record 12-9, and they are 8-2 in their last 10 games. One of the hottest teams in the league right now, they just beat the Mariners this week and the Washington Nationals. So not a couple of bad teams there. I mean, the Nationals are kind of bad, but the Mariners aren't. But Jorge Soler, he's turned out to be so far their best free agent pickup at this current point in time. I mean, he's coming off of a World Series MVP, and he's really knocking him out of the park right now. And then you also have Luzardo. He's pitching great. But then you also have Pablo Lopez. He's got three wins currently so far with a .39 ERA. So he's pitching lights out and leading the league with wins and ERA right up there with the Brewers, Lauer. I can't believe that the Marlins are even in my top 10. Not only at this current point in time, but ever, because I didn't think the Marlins were going to be a good team at all at any point. So, good for them. They are actually playing good baseball at this current point. We'll see how the rest of the season goes, but, Marlins, number 8. Then at number 9 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the Los Angeles Dodgers. Overall record 14-7, 6-4 in their last 10 games. This week they went up against the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Detroit Tigers. But I will say, man, Clayton Kershaw had another great outing this week, and he just continues to be a workhorse for this team and an ageless wonder. So it's crazy to see him still pitching at the level he's pitching at the age he's pitching at. Then you got Bueller. He's also having a great, great season so far. And then Cody Bellinger continued to his hot streak. He's had a 2-week hot streak where he has just been knocking them out of the park. So he's playing at an MVP caliber level again. And then Trey Turner, I think he's got like a 30-game on-base streak. Something like that. So, he's also, I believe he's the number one fantasy player right now in fantasy baseball, too. I have him on a couple of my teams, thankfully. And yeah, he's the top ranked guy just because he covers all bases, basically, covers you at all levels points wise. So yeah, Dodgers playing great baseball as always. And then rounding out my top 10 MLB power rankings would be my San Francisco Giants. Overall record 14-8, 6-4 in their last 10 games. This week they went up against the Oakland A's and the Washington Nationals. The Nationals actually got them back for the ass-kicking that the Giants delivered to them last week, because the Nationals really took it to them in a couple of games. We played Oakland very well also, although Oakland is not a very good team. At least right now they're not. The Giants pitching continues to dominate. Carlos Rodon, man, every start, he just dominates. I'm loving what I see from him. And then Logan Webb, he also had another good outing this week. I mean, overall, the Giants are just winning with just overall team baseball, you know, like... When they see one of their starting pitchers just struggling even in the slightest bit, they yank him and they put in another pitcher. The defense is playing solid right now, and they're just knocking them out of the park when they need to, and they're scoring the runs when they need to. So the Giants, while they've tumbled a little bit in my top 10, they're still playing great baseball at this current point in time. Unlike the Cincinnati Reds, who are on a record losing pace right now. They are currently, overall record is 3-19. Now, I already told you at the beginning of the season that I had a feeling the Reds were going to be the worst teams in the league. And so far they are. They've actually lost 17 of their last 18 games, which I believe I read is one of the worst starts, or it is the worst start ever in franchise history for the Reds. So that says a lot. And I feel bad if you're an actual Cincinnati Reds fan, because, man, if this is how the season started, y'all are going to have a long season, and the season is already long to begin with. So have fun with that, Cincinnati. And then rounding out baseball news, the starting pitcher, Trevor Bauer, for the Los Angeles Dodgers, he was suspended for 2 years by the league. And if you haven't been following it, basically a couple of chicks have accused Trevor Bauer of some, I would call it, some fairly rough sex. Basically, they're accusing him of choking them out, basically, to the point of unconsciousness. He's punching them in the face and on other parts of their body. And one of them said he anally raped her, and yeah, it's not a fun story at all, obviously. He wasn't charged criminally, but the league can suspend you. You don't need to be charged criminally for the league to suspend you, and this has been going on for about a year now. He did miss, like, the majority of last season. I want to say he missed at least half the season is when he was put on leave by the Dodgers, and then he's been officially suspended now. He is appealing the suspension. But my only, like, thoughts on this whole situation, first of all, is, from the legal aspect, just because somebody isn't charged criminally doesn't mean they're innocent, and it doesn't mean they're guilty. One of the problems I always have in all cases like this, is just how everybody gets to their side and they will refuse to move from their side. And I'm talking about both sides. So it's always just funny to me when people do that, just because you don't know the circumstances, you don't know the evidence, you don't know the parameters. And it's also a criminal case, and it is really difficult to charge people criminally, because if you really think about it, this is their life on the line. And if there's any type of reasonable doubt, that's just how it is. And there's just a lot of other parameters as well. I mean, there's, you know, tax dollars, and then there's juries, and then you've got lawyers, and then you've got judges, and you've got schedules. And so there's a whole lot of reasons why somebody would or wouldn't get charged criminally. And like I said, it doesn't mean he did do what he's accused of. It doesn't mean he didn't. And so it always bugs me when people go to their side and they get really indignant about it, especially the side where it's like, ow, see, he didn't get charged criminally, so he's completely innocent. And it's like, no, that's actually not true. And as a matter of fact, I would like to point out in all actuality and with real statistics and actual facts, reason, and logic, the majority of the time, if you're accused of rape or abuse, it's actually true. So I just would like to point that out. Now, my actual thoughts on these accusations, because I have read, you know, there's text messages out there and there's some, a little bit of evidence that we're allowed to read. And from what I've read, I totally see why he wasn't charged criminally, because it is a very he said, she said type of deal. And even I'm kind of torn on how I feel about it, because in some of the text messages, this chick is talking about wanting to have rough sex, but also at the same time, she's saying he did go too far after things happened. So I'm personally torn on the whole situation. But now let's get to what I really wanted to get to, is his suspension for 2 years. I personally have no problem with him being suspended for 2 years, and here's why. If you don't know, if you are a baseball fan, you do know that Trevor Bauer is a fucking asshole. He is one of those dicks who goes on Twitter and, like, argues with people. And when I say he argues with people, he doesn't just argue with, like, celebrities or political people. He just argues with, like, random people. And he does. He says horrible, abusive things towards women. He says horrible, abusive things towards reporters. And he's just an all-around general asshole. And honestly, I've read some accounts of teammates not really caring much for him from even when he played with the Cincinnati Reds. Because also, if you don't know, Trevor Bauer actually is a very good pitcher. I will say that. Trevor Bauer is a good pitcher. He won the Cy Young. He's been solid his entire career. He played for the Indians. He played for the Reds. The Reds is where he won his Cy Young, I believe. I could be thinking of somebody else, but I'm pretty sure he went to the Reds, and then now he signed with the Dodgers. And he basically played 1 year with the Dodgers, and then last year he played like half the year and then was put on leave while all this bullshit got sorted out. I will add also, a third woman has now started accusing him of the same thing. So just saying, more piling on for him. But I do think one of the reasons why he's receiving a 2-year suspension is because of his reputation as an asshole. I like I said, he's a good player. And usually if you are a good player, they will give you, you always seem to get lenience, you know. And for example, in the NFL, Antonio Brown, complete fucking asshole. He he's been accused of rape. He's been accused of beating up women. He's been accused of stealing stuff. He's actually been convicted of stealing stuff and had to pay people back. He's messed up apartments, thrown shit out of apartments. And then, above all, he has torn apart he's now torn apart three franchises that he's gone to, and he's just been an all-around headache. But people have continued to give him a chance, and the reason why is because he's a good football player. So usually that is the case in all sports, on all levels, and at all positions. But you will notice that baseball suspended Trevor Bauer for 2 years, and they didn't hesitate either. That they did their own investigations. So it's possible that they have more evidence that we don't. It's possible that they just think Trevor Bauer is an asshole and they're kind of adding on to, because they were going to suspend him anyways. Usually this kind of stuff, you're going to get suspended. You're making the league look bad. Regardless of it being an actual crime, or regardless of just whatever, even if it's just an accusation, the fact is you're making the league look bad. The news stories of this, they're not good. And you're making it so some people are going to say, I don't want to watch baseball. And what matters to baseball most? The bottom line. So regardless of how this was going to turn out, Trevor Bauer was going to be suspended. But 2 years, that is the biggest suspension they've had so far under this new assault and battery rule, basically. I think it's totally well-deserved because, like I said, he's a dick. He's an asshole. And I honestly think the league is better off without Trevor Bauer because he's really just an annoyance. And I honestly, he just seems like a general piece of shit as a human being as well. So good riddance, Trevor Bauer. You have fun being an asshole and trolling people on Twitter because that's about all you have going for you. All right, now let's talk about something I didn't really think I was going to get into, but since my Canadian fans are just continuing to grow, like seriously, it's crazy. I don't know what the hell's going on in Canada, but they are listening to my show, and I decided since the Stanley Cup playoffs begin tonight, I'm going to go ahead and do and talk some NHL. I'm not as well versed in NHL as I am all the other sports. So I did research, of course, on all of these games and all these matchups. So I am going to make some predictions, but they're definitely not going to be as in-depth as my usual predictions, like with the NBA and the NFL so far, or even in baseball or anything else. So let's kick it off, man. Starting in the Eastern Conference, we've got the Washington Capitals versus the Florida Panthers. And basically, the Capitals, they backed their way into the playoffs. They haven't been a good team at all this year. Alex Ovechkin, he's injured coming into this series. It looks like he is going to be playing in the first game, but it was possible he was going to miss it as well. So if they don't have Ovechkin, then that's a big deal. But also, the Florida Panthers are the top team in the Eastern Conference. And they're actually, I think, the highest favored to win the East as well. So I have the Florida Panthers beating the Capitals in this series in five games. Then we have the Tampa Bay Lightning versus the Toronto Maple Leafs. And the Tampa Bay Lightning are actually the two-time defending champions. And they are clicking at the right time as well. But, you know, you look at the Maple Leafs, and they're also explosive with a new young star named Austin Matthews. And I think this is actually going to be a very good matchup when you look at both teams. But I do think I'm going to give the edge to Tampa in this one. Since they are the defending champs, I'm going to give them that championship edge. And I think Tampa's going to win this series in seven games. Then you've got the Boston Bruins versus the Carolina Hurricanes. The Bruins have really struggled against the Hurricanes, as a matter of fact. They both are great with their shots, and they both have strong goaltending. But I really don't, with the way that the Hurricanes have dominated the Boston Bruins this season, I really don't see it changing in this playoff matchup. And I have Carolina winning this matchup in five games. Then the last matchup in the Eastern Conference are the Pittsburgh Penguins versus the New York Rangers. You know, Pittsburgh's offense is a little bit stronger than the Rangers, but New York actually has the better goalie in this series. So that's going to be where the edge is. But I think Pittsburgh offense is a little bit better. And I know their offense a little bit more than I do the Rangers. So I'm actually leaning towards Pittsburgh in this one in six games. And then moving over to the Western Conference, you've got the Nashville Predators versus the Colorado Avalanche. And this was probably the easiest matchup to me because the Avalanche are one of the best teams in the league right now. And they've just been dominating from start to finish. And the Predators basically just backed their way in. And so I think Colorado is going to win this one easy in four games. Then you got the St. Louis Blues versus the Minnesota Wild. And actually, these two teams were fighting up for home ice all the way up until the last game of the season, which Minnesota ended up getting the best of. Between these two, these are actually the two best offenses in the league, from the last month at least. It's looking like this is going to be a high-scoring affair. So if you like a lot of scoring in hockey, this is going to be the series to check out. And I'm actually leaning towards St. Louis in this one in seven games. Then moving on to the Dallas Stars versus the Calgary Flames. The Dallas Stars are just not a very good team at all, whereas Calgary is probably the most well-rounded team. They have great players at every position, and they're actually one of the the favorites to win the Stanley Cup as well. Whereas the Mavericks, the Dallas Stars just are not, they're not that good this year at all. So I've got Calgary winning this one in five games. And then the last matchup are the Los Angeles Kings versus the Edmonton Oilers. Full disclosure, while I'm not a major hockey fan, I am a San Jose Sharks fan. So that means I hate the Los Angeles Kings. I root against the Los Angeles Kings. When I see the Los Angeles Kings, I don't care who they are playing. I want to see them lose. So obviously I'm rooting for Edmonton in this one. But I will say, the Kings know how to win. And they always know how to step it up come playoff time. So while I didn't really pick any upsets in this, I think this is the one that has the potential for upset written all over it. And it's mostly just because the Kings have been hot coming into the playoffs. And like I said, they have a lot of experience. They're only a couple of years removed from winning the championship. So yeah, you really got to watch out for the Kings at this point in time. But the Oilers, they do have two of the top centers in the league with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. I'm going to mess this last name up. Draisaitl. Sorry, dude. I fucked that up. I know I fucked that up, but, apparently you're a really damn good center. So, we'll just call you Leon D. How about that? But they do have great goaltending as well. I do have Edmonton winning this one in seven games, but like I said, I would not be shocked if, the Los Angeles Kings end up moving on. All right. So yeah, there I go. I threw some hockey in there for all my Canadian fans. I mean, I had to do it. I just saw the numbers, and I mean, it's a regular, like, daily occurrence now that I'm getting Canadian fans. So I felt like, hey, man, I got to throw in some NHL, even though I'm not that well versed at it. So hopefully I gave you a little bit of a decent preview on that. You know, we got more NBA playoffs kicking off tonight. Right now, the 76ers versus Miami Heat, they're in the first quarter right now. Miami's up 25-20, so it's not that much of an ass-kicking currently. But we got playoffs the rest of the week, baseball the rest of the week. And, enjoy the week of sports, and I will talk to you guys on Friday.